And good morning. I'm Ken. I'm one of the pastors here, but I'm also a grateful follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm in recovery, in the process constantly, in my own struggle with insecurity and overworking and the need to win approval from others. My fear is I fear being rejected. Sometimes, even as a pastor, the fear of being rejected by God, which makes me feel like I have to win God's approval by what I do, which I know is theologically totally off base. But the evil voice in my head tells me that I'm not going to measure up. And so I struggle with finding my worth in what I do. And because of that, I struggle to balance life. I say yes to way too many things in order to win the approval of other people. And when I do this, I know that I rob God, my wife, and my family of the time and the attention that they deserve. And all of us have a place that we need to recover from. And so I want to pray again that God would reveal that to us and help us in this process and in this journey that we're going to go on together. So would you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you know our sins, and yet you love us with an unbounded love. Father, forgive the sins of the one speaking this morning because you know how many there are. And Lord, allow us, Father, to feel the conviction of your Holy Spirit and see it not as something harsh, but as a blessing that comes because you want to deliver us from the burdens and the pains and the suffering and the sin that keeps us from experiencing life in you completely. So, Father, guide us through your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, to be able to allow you to help us recover the life that you want us to live. We love you, Father, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of the book, Life's Healing Choices is a great illustration. Some of you have read the book, and it talks about one day there was a little boy, and he was running around the house while his father was trying to get a lot of work done, right? And COVID surely shoved a lot of people back at home for work, right? So some of you can really identify. Kids running around the house, dad's trying to get work done, and the dad was just kind of pulling his hair out going, oh, I'm never going to get my work done with all this noise. So he went over and grabbed a magazine, and there was a big picture of the world with all the countries labeled, and he ripped the page out of the magazine, and he cut it up into pieces, and he called his son and he says, here, son, take all of these pieces. And he goes, and what I want you to do is I want you to take this and I want you to assemble the picture of the world on here, right? And so the little kid takes all those pieces and he goes running off to the kitchen table and he scatters all the pieces out. And he starts to work at it, and the kid really didn't know much about geography, right? So the dad, and that was part of the dad's plan, right? This is going to take a while. Well, 15 minutes later, the kid runs in, and it's all taped together, and he says, Daddy, I did it. And the dad's looking at him like, I thought this was going to take an hour, right? And the dad looks at him and goes, how in the world did you get that? Did you get the world all together? And the little boy says, well, I didn't. He said, you see, on the other side, there was a picture of a person. And he said, all I had to do is get my person together, and the world came together on its own. And I'm like, man, you know, like out of the mouth of babes, right? Man, I mean, how many of us work so hard to get the world together, but we don't realize that if we want to fix the world, we've got to begin by getting our person together. I mean, we're all weighted down. We're all beat up, worried, anxious, afraid, angry. And it's not just because our world is broken. It's because we're broken. The reason that the world is broken is because we are. And we all have baggage. We all have stuff. How many of you know you have stuff this morning? Yeah, we all have stuff. Because the truth of the Bible tells us this. We all have stuff because we've all sinned. And we have all had people also who have sinned against us. So let me just ask you a few questions here this morning. Have you ever known the right thing to do but chose not to do it? Yeah, right? We could all raise our hand to that one. Now, have you ever known something that was wrong but you did it anyways? And I'm not talking about when you were 10. I'm talking about last week or this morning. Yeah, right? Now, how many of you have ever had someone else close to you answer yes to one of those questions, and then it spun around and impacted you? Right? How many of you ever have ever tried to control someone in your life because they couldn't control themselves? So you thought, right? How many of you have ever tried to control a situation and it proved to be uncontrollable? Yeah? How many of you are batting 1,000 right now? How many of you have ever had someone ask you how you were doing and you said just fine, even though you weren't? Raise your hands. Yeah. Now, have you ever told a lie because you thought that the truth would make things worse? Now, if you answered yes to any of those questions, even if you didn't bat 1,000, right, then congratulations. You're a human. Because we all struggle with all of this. Romans 6:23 tells us this, "For everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard." Every single one of us struggle with it. James 3:2, I love this one, says, "We all sin in many ways." Highlight the many, right? We all sin in many ways. It's been this way from the beginning. When God made the first people, he had only one rule, one. He said, don't go over there and eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So where did they make a beeline? Right? If there was more people, they would have lined up. And they went over there and they ate from the tree that they were told not to. And it's crazy. They listened to the voice inside of their head that said, you could be just like God. They listened to the evil one who said, you could be in control. And so like a tractor beam, they were drawn to this forbidden fruit. And mankind has been sinning ever since. Our choices, our sin, broke everything. When you sit and watch the news, which I highly recommend you don't do that too much. But when you sit and watch the news and you get that gnawing gut feeling of how nasty things are, just remember, it's not that person that you think is your enemy that is the problem. It's the problem of sin running rampant in our world that has pit us against one another. What compounds the wrecking ball of sin in our lives is this. It's the way we respond to sin. This is what compounds everything. The way we respond to sin, the human response to sin is naturally fear, which is the opposite of trust, by the way. And when we fear, we do five different things. There's probably more, but I want to kind of group them into five different categories. The first thing we try to do when we sin is we hide, right? We try to cover it up, often with a lie, or we try to run away from it. This happened at the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says this. Then man, this is right after they ate that forbidden fruit. It says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden, as if God didn't know where they were. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Again, rhetorical question, right? In fact, I think God's not even asking a question of location. I think God is deep in a deeper way saying, "Where are you in relation to me? Where's your heart right now?" And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. And we've been hiding ever since. And most of us work overtime. Most of us spend way more emotional and mental energy trying to hide and keep things hidden than it would take to get things made right. But the evil one tells you, hide it. Don't let anyone see, because if somebody sees, that will make you unlovable. So we hide. The second thing we do is we blame. We say, it's really not our fault, somebody else's fault. We try to point out somebody else's sin to make our own sin seem less, right? I mean, this is what happened at the very beginning too. Genesis 3, back up in verse 11, it says this, and he, okay, God said, who told you you were naked? And then God asked the question, have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? You, I sat there for, I don't know how long this last week, and I pondered that verse. And I pondered what might have happened if Adam simply would have said yes. Yep, we did it. Yes, Lord, we sinned. What might have happened to everything? But we won't know, because we're all really good at passing the blame. And then the man said, the woman that you put here with me. So here's the question. Was he really blaming the woman, or was he blaming God for putting the woman there? Right? She gave me the fruit and I ate it. Then the Lord said to the woman, what is it you have done? And then what did the woman do? The serpent. The serpent deceived me and I ate. We all pass blame. We don't want to own up. We want somebody else to share the blame of our sin. And so we pass blame. When we do that, we play the victim. And some of you have gotten used to playing life as the victim. So we hide, we blame, and then what many of us are pros at, we deny. We pretend it never happened. We avoid it, we deny it, we just turn a blind eye to it. How many of you have ever had a situation, an issue in your life, and you did the normal thing of just saying, if I ignore it long enough, it might go away? How many of you have been in that situation before last week, right? Yeah? Like if I just avoid it, if I just ignore it, it might just go away. Can I tell you what we all know in this room? It won't. In fact, it will just gain weight. It will just go faster. It will just go deeper. It will just get worse. But we all try to deny it. The other thing we all try to do, we try to numb it, right? We try to numb the pain of whatever sin we've committed. And oftentimes when we numb the feelings of insecurity or anything else, whatever else our issue is, sometimes we numb it. We try to use drugs, alcohol, food, sex, hobbies. We try to acquire stuff because we think if I just get better stuff, then it'll take my mind off all the other issues that I have. We overwork, we overeat, we do all these things to try to avoid the pain and the realities of our choices and of our sin. So we just try to numb it. And many of you know the feeling of that, that you just try to keep numbing it. And then the last one we have, and again, there's more, but the other thing is this, is we react. We react. I tend to react at times, you know, when something happens. And, you know, I go back to my childhood where we learned, like, you know, hey, if someone punches you, man, react. And so we inflict our fear and our hurt on other people. You know, when I get to those places in my life when I even start to imagine, and again, I've had lots of years of theological training. I know theologically is absolutely wrong that I would have to gain God's approval by what I do. But in those moments where I let that voice win in my head, you know what it turns around and does? it causes me to make other people win my approval. Because we're really good at passing on the sin and the pain that we have to other people. And so because of our sins and our response to sin and being sinned against, we've all developed hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And over the next couple weeks, we're going to dive into all of those things. Today, we're just going to shortly talk about hurts. Then next week, Pastor Juan is going to talk about hang-ups. And then Pastor Devin's going to talk about habits. And then we'll wrap it all up with the whole idea of, like, how does God heal us from all of this? And we're excited about what God is unleashing here for us. I mean, we've all been hurt. We've all been hurt by others. I mean, it could be as simple as a word that was spoken to hurt you, that hurt your feelings, or as major as being physically, mentally, verbally, sexually abused. And it could be trauma that you faced, whether it be from racial or socioeconomic injustices or something that happened to you at a different point in your life. We all hurt. We all have pains in our lives. And because of that, we all hurt others. You know why? Because hurt people hurt people. It's the natural flow. Hurt people hurt people. And we all hurt, so we all try to hurt others. I mean, that's the condition of our world today. Why is it that you turn on the news and all they do is fight against each other? Because hurt people hurt people. Hurt people try to cast the blame on somebody else. Oh, it's the other party's fault. Oh, it's that other person. They're not doing what they're supposed to. We all try to pass it off, but the reality is we all hurt, and when we hurt other people. Now, we try to downplay or hide our hurts, which only compounds them, right? I mean, I have hurts in my own life, right, that I've had to kind of work through, still working through some of those things. I shared with you, I don't know how many months ago, you know, I shared with you a story about how I had a baseball coach who just, when I was young, just happened to tell me, you know, how big my ears are because I was having trouble getting the helmet on, right? Seeds of insecurity, right? Because all of a sudden you're just conscious about that all the time. And it's the voice of that coach that just rattles over in your head over and over again. So sometimes it's that simple. But I'll be honest, mostly at times I've been hurt. And the struggle that we all face, especially being here, because we all come to church and we put on our best, right? But the reality is I've been hurt the most by well-meaning church people. People who didn't like something I said, something I did, a decision I made, right? And then there's things that get gossiped about. You feel like you get slandered. And it makes you hard. Sometimes it makes it hard to trust people. And I've been hurt by all those types of things in my life. And the only thing that I can do is continue to fight back by saying, you know what? Those are the lies that the devil wants me to believe. But Jesus has a better story. And I'm a child of God. I'm not what anybody else says that I am. We all have these hurts. And we all have hang-ups as well. Now, some of you will ask, like, what's a hang-up, right? A hang-up is a belief about ourselves that we hold on to because of the hurt in our lives, believing that you're never good enough, a reoccurring negative thought, bitterness, anger, resentment, all those things. It's the lie we believe about ourselves that sometimes causes you to be chained down to something else. It hangs you up from making progress in your life. And then there's habits. These are coping or numbing mechanisms that help us numb or hide or not have to deal with issues. Things like, again, drugs, alcohol addictions, eating addiction, sexual addiction, gambling addiction, work addiction, workout addiction. You've seen those guys at the gym, right? These all weigh us, they all weigh on us. But here's the thing. The reason that they weigh so heavy on us is because this is not how it was meant to be. Because there is something in the way that God stamped his image on our lives that knows deep down inside, this is never how it was supposed to be. I was not supposed to have to live with all of that hurt and pain and suffering. I mean, we were created to live in a world, think about this, we were created to live in a world without sin. That was what God created in the beginning. We were created to live in relationship with God with nothing between us. We were all created to live forever. Death was not part of the initial equation. And there's something deep inside of us that knows that all of that is true. So when you add, right, when you add sin, when you add broken relationships, when you add all the hurt and the pain and the suffering, and when you add death to the picture, we know that this isn't right. And so we're at battle, and we long for freedom. So while our minds and bodies try to hide, blame, ignore, and lash out because of sin, our souls cry out for freedom. Our souls cry out for forgiveness. Our souls cry out for relationship with God. Now, that's all tough stuff. Everybody take a deep breath this morning. Yeah? Because here's the good news. The good news is this. God loved us so much that even though we sinned and continued to do so, God created a way to recover the life he intended us to have. That's why we're calling this recover. Recovery gets a bad rap sometimes, especially in the church, right? Because we think, oh, that's for those people over there. That's for people who have really, really bad addictions or really, really bad mental issues and different things like that. But the reality is this. Every single one of us is struggling with recovery because we live in a broken world of sin, and God is working. God has a plan to help us recover the life that he intended you and I to live. And he wants all of us to experience life the way he created it to. And some people think, well, that just seems so impossible. But it's not. Because God has a plan. God loved us so much that even though we sinned, he created a way to recover the life he intended us to have. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the price that we couldn't pay to give us the life that we couldn't earn. And he did that for us because of his love for us, which tells me that while I'm busy trying to win the approval of everybody else, when I want to be loved in all these other ways, that there's a God out there who loves me so much that he was willing to send his own son for me. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. The better translation of that verse is really, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Which certainly was people, but what else was lost? What was lost was relationship. What was lost was a way of life, a world without sin, a world in relationship with God, a world where we live forever with him. And so Jesus came to seek and to save, to recover that for us. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. How many of you have had the devil cause a hurt, hang up, or habit in your life that has killed, stealed, or destroyed something in your life? Yeah. And God is the God of resurrection. While the devil wants to steal your joy, kill your dreams, destroy your hope, destroy your relationships and your future, Jesus came to help you recover. Recover the life that God has for you. A life where we don't have to hide, A life where we don't have to fear, a life where we don't have to pretend anymore to just be okay, a life where we aren't controlled by anxiety, addiction, and the rest, a life where we experience freedom, joy, fulfillment, peace, where we feel loved, accepted, and where we can trust and love and find healing. Do you want some of that? I love Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. It's always been a favorite verse, and I love the way it says it in the Message translation. It says this: are you tired? Are you worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll, what's the word? Recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. How many of you could go for that? Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you, it says. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Who wants to sign up? Yeah. So how do we do this? How do we recover the life that we were intended to live? Well, the first step is actually the reversal of the first sin. Okay? In the first sin, they were told you could be, you know, hey, if you do this, you can be like God, right? So the first step is admit that you're not, right? The first sin was, I think I can be God. The first step towards recovering what God intended is to admit, okay, and that's the big word, admit that you're not God and that you're powerless to fix all this on your own. And I admit my need for God. In Celebrate Recovery, in the book Life Saving Choices, you know, they talk a lot about how the Beatitudes, you know, the Beatitudes fit in here. And Matthew 5:3 says this. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does poor in spirit mean? It means you recognize your need for God. I like the way it says it in the New Living Translation. It says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of God is theirs. So as I studied this, and I tore this verse all apart this last week or so, and so I came up with the KLV, which is the Ken Lamont version, okay? I know it borderlines heresy, but that's okay, right? I took all the other ones, looked in all the original language stuff and said, now if I was translating it, here's what I would say. You will be blessed when you recognize your desperate need for God. This is the key that unlocks the kingdom of heaven. That's what we need. Proverbs 28:13 says, people who conceal their sin will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they'll receive mercy. But now here's the thing. Recovery doesn't happen overnight. Many of us have worked long, hard hours at our pain and our suffering, our hurt, our habits, and our hang-ups. Some of you have been working on that and setting those in concrete for a lot of years, maybe all your life. So it's not just gonna happen overnight. Now, while salvation, while forgiveness of your sins, it can happen, it can be yours now. Recovering from years of trauma, dysfunction, and hiding, it may take a bit longer journey. In fact, I will guarantee you it'll take a little bit longer journey. But it is a journey that is so worth taking to recover life the way God intended it to be lived. And that's why we're starting Celebrate Recovery. Like Devin said, we've been talking about this for a long time and praying and praying and praying and patiently wondering like when God would maybe orchestrate things. And then we got Pastor Juan, right? And we're blessed by that. We're blessed because I think Juan and Jenna are amazing at leading this ministry. Yeah, you can give them some of that. And they've been working behind the scenes already, helping create a team and help working with a group of people that are going to help us lead this and help make this happen. On October 14th, we're going to launch. Now, some of you are saying like, hey, wait a minute. I thought we already were doing Celebrate Recovery, and I'll get to that in just a minute because it's kind of like, kind of, yes. Celebrate Recovery, though, what you need to know at the beginning is this. Here's the biggest thing that all of us need to recognize is this. Like Devin's already said this morning, it's not just for people out there, okay? It's not just for people with the habits, right? With the issues of, you know, alcoholism and all these things. It's not just for those people over there. It's for everyone who has a hurt. Everyone who struggles to fight off that voice inside your head that just says whatever it says, right? You're not enough. It's for everyone who has a hang-up, something that's holding them back from experiencing God's best in their life. Celebrate Recovery, it's a Christ-centered recovery ministry that helps people walk through 8 principles that help people identify their hurts, hang-ups, and habits, and allows Christ at the core to heal us and recover true life. And we believe that real recovery is possible, that real healing is possible with Christ, that in so many other places in recovery, you just replace recovery becomes your addiction. But we believe you can actually recover and find true healing. So let me give you a little snapshot of Celebrate Recovery, because like I said, some folks said, oh, I thought we were already doing that. What we currently have is we have something going on right now called a step study. This is a place where people commit to going through an in-depth, step-by-step look at the hurts, habits, and hang-ups in their life in a very small and highly accountable group with a workbook and stuff that just helps them, and they go at whatever pace they have to go so that they can get through it and get through it well. You don't just speed through this, because like I said, some of you have been working at getting yourself in the pit for a long time, right? And so you work through these steps, and much like a 12-step recovery program that many of you have heard of, the big difference here is that Christ is at the center. Christ is our power for change. Now, the core of CR is a Celebrate Recovery gathering. And this is a place that's going to start here. It's going to be on Friday nights here. And it will be here in this room and kind of spread out throughout our campus. But it'll start on October 14th, and it's open to everyone, right? And it will happen every Friday night. And here's what it looks like. There's a slide up here, and it just says, you know, they'll start out, they'll have dinner together, a time where you can fellowship with other people. And then at 7 o'clock, there's a large group gathering, which will happen here, where there will be personal testimonies, guest speakers, some form of teaching time there. And from 8 to 9, they have these open share small groups. If you're new to the whole thing, you'd stay in here. There will be other groups that go out depending on what your hurt, habit, or hang-up might be. And you'll go in same gender groups, because some of the things that get shared, you know, would be inappropriate in a mixed gender group. So you go out and you get with these groups and you have times of sharing. And then afterwards, it's, you know, time for coffee, right? And time to again, be together. And the whole idea is that we don't get stuck in recovery, we celebrate it, right? We say, hey, we can fully recover because we have a great God. And this morning, what I want you to hear from, because you've been listening to me for far too long now, I want you to hear from someone who has been experiencing Celebrate Recovery in their own life. So just turn your attention to the screen.
Hi, I'm Christina, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm in recovery for grief. I'm also the wife of a recovering alcoholic, 12 years now, praise God, and I come from the family disease of alcoholism. I've lost 2 brothers and a brother-in-law. But what I'm in Celebrate Recovery for is something other than what I described. I'm working on grief, sadness, fear, anxiety, everything that's under that umbrella, because I have an adult veteran son who over the last several years has lost his mental wellness. When I first heard about CR, it was many years ago. I thought, wow, what a great program. I know a lot of people, especially in my family, that should be there, and I wish I could get them there. And little did I think at that time, well, wait a minute, it's me who needs to be there. And I later learned that that's called denial. And of course, here I am. Since joining CR, I've changed in the aspect of now I'm in a recovery program where Jesus Christ is the focus. And in reading the Celebrate Recovery Bible, I'm learning what the Bible has to say about recovery principles and steps, and that's been just an incredible blessing. Not to mention applying biblical characters to hurts, hang-ups, and habits, and whoever put all this together, it's just been, it's phenomenal. I look forward to experiencing in completing this program and then continuing on however this program grows in our church. I'm really looking forward to seeing other people experiencing recovery and applying Principle 8. And what that indicates to me is God wants me to take where I am, what I am, and make that my mission. And not have an inner mission. So I want to use recovery as my mission for the rest of my life. And also, in Principle 8, what I'd like to do is take all my hurts and my hang-ups and my habits and recycle them. I want God to shed His light, His fire, everything on that, so I can recycle it into something beautiful.
Thanks for sharing, Christina. We love you. You know, all of us have stuff. We all have stuff because all of us have sinned. We all have stuff that burdens us, causes us pain, weighs us down. Stuff that keeps us from God's best in our lives. We have relationship stuff and job stuff, health stuff, financial stuff, parenting stuff. And then we come to church and we try to hide our stuff so that we look like we have it all together, maybe. And we pretend, we avoid, we dress nice, we smile, we tell everyone we're fine. Just a little busy, we say, right? But we aren't really fine because we all carry stuff. But the good news this morning is this, is that Jesus wants you to hand over your stuff. Jesus wants you to give your stuff to Him because He wants to help you recover the life He intended for you to live. He wants you to experience Him. And so He wants you to just give Him your stuff. So this morning, while the journey may begin, and I hope that many of you this morning will realize, like, yeah, Celebrate Recovery is for me. It's not just for other people out there. But maybe today you just need to get that one spot in your life where you finally admit that you can't do this on your own. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much you fill your life with, you admit that you need God's help. And then you practice really the second step, which is to trust Him. To say yes to Jesus. Say, yes, I want to make You Lord of my life. I'm going to commit to making You Lord. And when you do that, He starts this incredible process where He can do the work that only He can do in your life. So this morning, I want to invite you to bring your stuff. Bring all your worry, your anxiety, your fear, your anger, your unanswered prayers, your marriage, your children, your divorce, your dashed hopes and desires, all of your loneliness and abandonment, your regrets and your failures. Bring all of that stuff, all of the baggage, and bring that stuff to Jesus Christ. Because you don't have to hurt anymore. You don't have to hide anymore. Our great goal is to create a safe place, and it's safe because Jesus is here. And he wants to wrap his loving arms around you, and he wants you to hand him your stuff so that he can help you recover. Not just recover from, but recover to life to the full. So if you're here this morning, you need to know Jesus, then as we sing in just a minute, we've got people who would love to talk to you. I'm going to have any of our church elders, our staff, who are here to just come up and sit up front, and they'll be here for you to talk to. You can head to the back corners for prayer. If you've just like, if you're just trying to figure this out and you need some prayer to help, then, you know, head back there or find somebody with a blue shirt on. They would love to pray with you, because here's our greatest desire here at Newbury Park First Christian Church. It's to be a place where you find Jesus and find that he has a life for you that's beyond your wildest dreams. And that in following him, that you'll experience life to the full. Not the easy life, but the best life. And that's what we hope for you. And we do this because Jesus already paid the price. And that's why every week we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Because we recognize that without Jesus' sacrifice, that we're all just stuck with our stuff. We're just stuck with our sin. But Jesus died so that that sin can actually be taken care of and erased, so that we can give that to him and that it doesn't have to burden us anymore. And when we don't trust him to do that, well, then what does it say about his sacrifice? So this morning, together, let's take this bread that reminds us that Jesus died to save us from our sins. And this cup, this juice that represents his shed blood, because he died to take away, to help us heal from our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and help us recover the life he intended us to live. So let's take that together. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you. God, we thank you that you didn't just leave us alone in our mess. And Father, that you, despite all of our stuff, despite all of our sinfulness, that Lord God, you came and you loved us. And that Father, you're still loving us. And you'll continue loving us. And so Father, bring hope and healing to your people. Father, help us to admit our need and to reach out for you and to take hold of the life that is truly life. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.